My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone, I forgot. Could find with Christ. You wanna change the world, but you don't know where you should start. But you can't give your all unless you let God inside your heart.
Hey, good morning, Patriots. And today is Tuesday, April 2nd in the year 2024. Had to cancel last night's show, not because I was traveling, but because I had to do an emergency bee rescue last night, which was pretty interesting. We'll talk about that in just a moment, amongst many other things. Patriots, one thing that we know is that the COVID con and the vaccines are a dark truth and a dark stain in our history. And it continues to get darker the more we learn about it. It's a complete narrative of lies, coercion. There was force, there was fear. Everything they could do to compel people to do something, they would just damage their bodies. And even though many people stood strong against the vax, we still have the risk of being exposed to spike proteins. Warrior Essentials has now a patent-pending formula that helps the body heal, bottom line. And helps remove the toxins that have been built up, and many of them as a result of this spike protein and the results of the jab. Now, this is this is a product that is not approved by the FDA. That would be the same FDA that brought you the safe and effective jab. And it's a product we can't use to diagnose, treat, cure, prevent any disease. That's sort of normal disclaimer, but this is a pretty amazing product. This is a product that's designed for anyone who was jabbed or around those who were jabbed, which pretty means everybody, since we're walking with the land of the zombies out here. It comes in three phases: remove toxins, repair circulatory health, restore your epigenome. And literally, there's nothing else like it anywhere in the market. So there's an offer going on now for Bards Nation. Just go to recoverwithbards.com, recoverwithbards.com. You'll save 50% off the regular prices plus free shipping. Those links are always below the podcast. It helps you get rid of body toxin and spike proteins, and it helps boost your health. The website's extensive. You can spend a lot of time reading through it. It's really amazing, and you can get very informed on what their product is. So that, again, that's recoverwithbards.com, recoverwithbards.com for 50% off and free shipping. Check it out. I think it's a fantastic offering. I think it's a great product that we have on our market. Okay, so last night, it's really interesting. I was doing some cleanup on the ranch on Sunday, and my hives, I think I told you, I had three beehives last season, and they were ravaged. And I honestly thought that they were ravaged by wild animals, and I'm beginning to believe that wasn't the case. I'm beginning to believe that they were consequentially ravaged by wild animals after they were literally blown over by some extreme winds that we have here. And unfortunately, the bee stands I had them on, which were, they're professional bee stands, they're stainless steel, but they didn't have any in the way they were set up, the hives could literally be blown off of these stands. Not a good design, something that I'm correcting. But anyway, so I lost three hives, I thought. And the hives were literally just ravaged across the ground, torn up. So I'm cleaning up on Sunday. I've got a hive that's been completely flipped upside down. It has no lid on it. There has been rains here. It's been cold. And as I'm cleaning up, I look inside, and there's a small hive inside. Unbelievable. So yesterday evening, so I wasn't prepared to change it Sunday night. So yesterday evening, I went out and did literally a bee rescue. I don't know if you know this or not. Michelle Svensson is a big bee person. And so she was literally being my online, my on-voice consultant as I was moving through last night. The best way to move a hive, because I had to move this hive into a new super, and then I had to relocate the physical hive to another location. So the best way to do that is to do that at night. And so I had to take this other hive, which was literally upside down. I had to flip it over and then remove the frames that we could keep. There was only three out of about 10 frames with bees on them that I could keep. And when I believe I located the queen, it was an interesting experience last night trying to do all this under headlamp and the ATV lights, and then move them into the new super, and then was able to strap it with a ratchet strap to move it physically to another location. And then I'll check on them today before I leave, but it was pretty awesome, and more than pretty awesome. I think that what really comes of this is we spend so much time in our days grinding on the tools of Lucifer and what he's doing in our world. And when you do something like that and you're just really focused on the heart of God, which is just preserving and saving, it's just so powerful. And I know that it was very much in my space. I told you yesterday, I'm putting out a challenge for everybody to literally spend this month that in everything we do, be cognizant and conscious of the fact that you're seeking the way that God would want you to see it. You're seeking the knowledge of how Jesus would execute and do this. And that's the challenge I'm putting out again today for anybody that is going to follow that. I started that yesterday. And it's not like we don't walk with God, but this is a cognizant, focused moment that everything that we do, whether we're sitting down having a cup of coffee, whether we're walking in the world, whether we're shopping, whether you're cleaning dishes, whether you're working on animals, whatever you're doing, be cognizant on everything that you do to ask and seek how God would want you to see it and how Jesus would execute. And so that part of that process yesterday as I was getting ready, I'd gone down and done the survey of where I was going to put it and put the new hive, checking my inventory of supplies, which I have plenty, which was good, to make sure I had a new super in there with new frames, and I did. I have a number of them. And so I was getting everything set up, came back up and grabbed some dinner before it got dark. And I was watching this piece, which is, it's not one I can play here because it's mainly just a lot of music. It's a lot of visuals. And I'll send it over to Nikki. I think I did yesterday. She can post it. And it's really not that dramatic of a piece, but it was a piece of just reflecting on the last 8 years of this awakening about around children. And I literally found myself in the studio at the desk just sobbing for the just the pain which has gone on in this world and what we've allowed to happen, not because we're evil, but because we were asleep and we were willing to trust those that could not be trusted. And so I was, that juxtaposition is, I'm literally watching that piece and I will tell you honestly, feeling the heart of God. It was just, I was literally on elbows on my desk, hands in my chin in my hands, and just literally sobbing as I'm looking at these images of children that had been raped and abused. And the visual proof that was before us, Hollywood stars, politicians, holding hands with little kids, kissing them on the lips, this disgusting world of pedophilia that is all around us, and just literally asking how we missed it because it was right there before us. So then as I went down to do this rescue last night, which took about 2 hours, there is a satisfaction, and I know that anybody that's ever worked with animals or bees or anything like that, when you do those sort of rescues, there is something that is so much greater than you that you're part of. Yeah, ask any person who runs cattle. When you go out and help a calf get unstuck or a cow dealing with cow with a difficult birth, those things literally change you in such a profound way. And it connects us to God in a most amazing way. And in those moments, you reclaim, and we reclaim, a big piece of our humanity. You don't need it in a pew. You just need to be there in the presence. And I think it's kind of like this, and I think it's an important place. In our walk, the pulpit has become the place that should be the place, or I should say it this way, the pulpit is the place that should be the place of wisdom. That goes to Finney's comment, and if there's any failure in our country, whether it's moral, any sort of moral failure, whether it's in the newspapers or whether it's in our leadership or whether it's in our lives, it's the pulpit's fault. Unfortunately, the pulpit doesn't hold that accountability now. And so the question really is, where is that wisdom? And that wisdom literally sits in the world as we seek the heart of God. It's here and it's profound. So anyway, there's your show cancellation for last night. And I unapologetically say it was worth every bit of it. It was pretty amazing to do. And the satisfaction you get when you know that you've saved a small hive is really amazing. By the way, there is a series, and I was just reminded of it by the comment in chat. If you've never read the series or watched the series, which was a BBC series, All Creatures Great and Small. Oh my, really worth looking at. It's a British series. How about kind of a small town, small place, vegetarian, or a not vegetarian for sure, veterinarian. So there you go. Which leads me to my first story here today. So let's take a listen to this as we're talking about vegetarianism and them wanting us to become bug eaters. Take a listen.
So I wanted to update y'all on what's going on in Texas. We have over 1 million acres of farmland that has been burned and ruined. And not only that, we have Texas Forest Service that is going into these ranchers' properties and dozing up the land. They're not even dozing the burned areas. They're ruining the remaining feed and grasses that they do have. And we don't know why they're doing this. So let me know what y'all think about this in the comments. Make sure to share this around. We need to stand up for what's right. And remember, guys, buy American and buy local.
Good words, young man. He's probably about 18 years old doing that piece. Good, wise words. We are definitely in a different world now, at least a world that they want us to try to be in. And it's a world of immense forced compliance would be the way to say it, because we've been so willful. And I think in kind of reflection of where I begin today, which is whole idea, they'd have no reason to believe otherwise because they have not met consequence. Instead, what they have met is they have met willful compliance, or worse, just disregard for some of the most heinous crimes anyone could ever do. And these heinous crimes are the crimes of children And we've literally done nothing. There's a handful of operators out here that are doing things. And it's just not any, it's just not cognizant to them that they're going to have any sort of consequence. That has to change. And just to highlight here, you'll remember back about November, I believe it was, this past November, I did an interview with Basil Boz, which was one, it was an amazing interview. He's a former clandestine operator for the CIA. Devout Christian and hardcore child recovery person, runs an operation now where every dime that they raise goes to saving a child. They all work other jobs, and he's got tier one level operators working with him. He, and we'll make sure and get this information out if you're so interested, but he runs he runs seminars on training to start setting up local networks to develop child trafficking, counter trafficking operations. And it's a week long seminar. The seminars are $650, and they run from basically 7:30 in the morning till 5 or 6 at night, and the last day you run almost to 7 o'clock. So it's a full week of intensive, immersive training in the process of setting this up. Now, we had Operation Vineyard that was kicked off a year ago, which I think for some may not see a lot of progress. We've definitely been praying on and building this forward. Part of Flemingsburg is going to have some of that. I'm going to his seminar in June. He has a number of seminars around the country. We will get this link up. It's a process to get into it. It's nothing to be intimidated about. They do background check everybody coming into the seminar. But I think it's one of these things we all need to be getting informed. And so I'm going to do this before BarzFest in July so that I can share some of that information and encourage people to do this. We need to have this foothold to really start doing the right thing and getting involved with stopping child sex trafficking. Now, with this, obviously, I kind of went on a rabbit trail there a little bit, but we're in this place of literally unaccountability. These elites are not living in a world of accountability. And here's another example of, like, here we have the farms going on. They burned the ranch land. They're now bulldozing it. Nobody's stopping them. And it's just kind of this question of why. Well, the why of this is they want us all to be dependent on them and ultimately be so dependent on them that we can't function without them. That is their goal. That is what they want. And that is where they see all of us becoming a subject to their will in such a degree that we will never be able to be free of their absolute control. Take a listen to this insight into 15-minute cities. This is the mayor of London candidate, Shyam Batra, and he talks about the 15-minute cities. Here you go.
The 15-minute cities is something that the WEF has created called C40, and it's called C40 Cities. I would urge you to certainly look on the internet about it and then go to all of the TikTokers and see what they're really, really saying. Basically, you won't be able to drive a petrol or diesel car anymore. You'll have to buy electric. If you want food, you will get a calorie-controlled system sent to you by text saying, this is what you can eat today. This is what you can have today. If you violate any of these things, they'll freeze your bank account. That is the next step. These are stages in which they're going to implement this stuff. And this was signed up by the WEF. And the WEF has signed up with our mayor in London as the chair. And he has gone around the world to communicate this C40 to all of the countries in the world. And most of the countries are looking at adopting it. Now, I am going to abolish it. It is a hopeless position. We are going to be in an open prison, or shall we say a COVID, for the rest of our lives. We will not be able to work unless it's in our 15-minute city. It's diabolical. It's not a right. This is not the right thing. And it's been hidden from the public. No one's talking about it.
With the 15-minute city model, there is a real issue at hand of where choice goes. And obviously, when people comply to this idea of 15-minute cities and they're going along with it for the sake of apparently saving the world, what they're not seeing is that this is all a setup to force people to eat a diet which is intended to degrade the human again and ultimately destroy it. Everything is geared towards a profit model. And the profit model that they're looking at is how to keep people perpetually sick and tied into a Western medical system that ultimately is designed specifically to keep you in a sustained level of sickness, never recover, and then to make money off of you all the way through. It's just another form of enslavement. Plus, in keeping people's health down, we are unable to achieve the higher levels of consciousness and higher levels of existence as we are intended to be, children of the Most High. The bug protein is a critical part of that enslavement. And the process of forcing cattle off the land, tagging every animal, forcing people into a compliance of a bunk and ridiculous strategy that somehow the Earth's global warming is a product, byproduct of God's creatures, which is ridiculous. And then forcing them into a 15-minute city model then leads to a process where people are willfully complying and eating what is given to them. This is all part of giving away all of your rights and authorities at the core of who we are. The bug proteins are a new and massive industry. It's growing. Cargill and Tyson are all big arbiters that are now converting over to building bug protein plants, selling this as a good idea, when in fact the bug proteins are parasitic based. And the war that we're dealing with and the problem we're dealing with in our body so much of this time is parasites. We're the only country, the United States is the only country that doesn't treat for parasites as a regular part and function of our health. And so what they're trying to do, is to get to a place where people are constantly being embedded with more and more parasites so that the bodies continually degrade and there's no treatment for it. And all the foods that you eat are parasitic based, which then infuse things like stimulate cancers. They stimulate the degradation of your mental capacities. Everything is there and designed and in your food. Another level of a crazy that we've never seen. And the problem we have here with all of this, again and again, is that there's this generational concept that somehow we are the parasites of the earth. It is once again the inversion. And this trend that we're heading towards right now is one that is completely going to subjugate humanity towards a level of sickness and low energy like we've never seen before. They want you not to eat beef. They want you to eat bugs. And so one of the things I would say to be very cognizant of, read the labels on everything and read them carefully.
I'm in the flower section of the grocery store. I wrote up something, a whole bunch of somethings. When it comes to flour, things are changing in the world. Have you ever heard of cricket flour? There are at least 6 or 7 companies in this world that's now using crickets, insects, to make flour. According to Dover's, PepsiCo is looking to use cricket proteins in products such as Cheetos and Quaker granola oats. Insect Gourmet says insect-related businesses in the Western world are producing insect proteins for foods, beverages, confectionaries, and other things such as butters, oils, and pestos, as well as spice and seasoning. So it's most likely going to show up, not be labeled, and you're not going to know it, in pretty much everything you eat. It is expected to reach $4.6 billion in sales by 2027 and produce 1.4 million tons of insect protein. ADM, Archer Midland Daniels, is in the process of producing insect foods in Decatur, Illinois right now in partnership with Innova Foods. That's on the ADM website. Exo, which is a company that makes cricket flour, says that crickets are 60% protein. However, Iowa State University Etymology Department says that crickets are only about 12.8 9%. And this would explain why the NIH, when they do their comparisons of protein levels in cricket flour, they compare them to plants, not animals. Cleveland Clinic said that about 30% of the cricket farms looked at have parasites that carry disease to humans, and that edible insects are as underestimated reserve of human and animal parasites. Yep, Cleveland Clinic said that. That they are an underestimated reservoir of parasites to humans and animals. According to the NIH, it is stated that they claim that the exoskeletons, or the chitin, is a digestible fiber, but they don't know how it digests. I found that more than just a little curious. And then turn around and say that if you consume chitin, well, it'll trigger immune responses in the body. According to Science Direct, this cricket flour has all the markings for high levels of detectable arsenic. The NIH says that novel foods such as crickets show presence of arsenic, aluminum, cadmium, chromium, and mercury in all those edible insects. This is a farm boy. That's what's going to be in our food supply soon. You need to get used to it. And we'll talk to you later.
Now in Canada, Canada's lost, by the way. I'm just kind of stunned at this whole thing that yesterday, apparently Canada, effective April 1st in 2024, new continuing care regulation, which is moving to what they call 0 hours of care. This testimony we're going to hear from in a minute is a caregiver who's in tears. And she says, so that it seems in a continuing care home, someone can be left for a week sitting in their own fecal matter. And that's just okay now, because it's now not the nurse's job to actually care for the patient. New rules do not prescribe how many hours of care residents of a facility should receive. The vulnerable in our world are supposed to be taken care of. And now the government is making it so that this isn't even a thing anymore. Let me play this piece. Keep in mind that there's a little bit of a language issue here. She's pretty emotional, but that's par for the course. This is the process, unfortunately, of awakening to realize just how evil the institutions that people have been working for actually are. Take a listen.
We have to chat and I might cry, so bear with me. I used to be a full-time nurse in a dementia unit. So this news has, it's not sitting well with me at all. And I'm not exactly sure how something like this actually happens. The vulnerable in our world are supposed to be taken care of. And now the government is making it so that isn't even a thing anymore. We're going back in fucking time instead of forward. And I'm just baffled by this. This new continuing care regulation is supposed to take effect on April 1st. We are moving to 0 hours of care. So that means in a continuing care home, someone can be left for a week sitting in their own fecal matter. And that's just okay now, because it is now not the nurse's job to actually care for their patient. How can you go to school and become a nurse and not give a shit about the people you're taking care of? There's already so many terrible nurses in the medical industry that try to get away with doing the bare minimum so that they keep their job. And now the government is telling them, you don't even have to do the bare minimum to keep your fucking job? It is now lawfully backed that you do, what? The fuck is the point of a care home and a continuing care facility if they're not going to have assistance? This is fucking wild. Basically, now what this means is if you have not set yourself up for retirement, which the majority of the population has not. Because who are we fucking kidding? In this day and age, it's hard enough to put milk and eggs in everyone's fridges. It means that you're not gonna... It's not funded. You're not gonna get the help that you need. You're not gonna have the products you need. You're not gonna have the care you need. They literally sent a patient who had a stroke to recover alone in a hospital, or sorry, in a hotel in Leduc. Someone who had a stroke was sent to recover alone in a hotel in Leduc. I give up on this world. I didn't think it could get worse.
And it's going to continue to get worse as we move forward. And the issue here is that we're running on a timeline, which you can see very clearly, that the elites are in a measure of panic. Whatever is coming, they cannot stop. My general sense of it is a deep spiritual awakening of the world, which is truly the awakening of Christ within our hearts, to see truly what the world is. This is my opinion based on a lot of research on this. And I think there's real clear evidence that that's what we're seeing and witnessing. The thing is that the only counter they have to that is to get people to self-destruct, to get people to give up on everything that is normal and live into an alternate world, to try to get them to literally be so physically and mentally and spiritually corrupted that there's in the subject's mind, there is no way out. This is the race really to the bottom is what they're trying to take us to. And the thing is that what's amazing about this statement, which that was a painful testimony, but at the same time, she's accepted something very critical. I give up on this world. All she needs is Jesus, literally. I am not of this world. Change those words and step into the love of Christ, and she's in the right place. But this is what it's going to take, unfortunately, for people to wake up. And we have talked about this and talked about how in this process and this conversation, and Bard's FM will be 5 years old this May, which is next month. And it started 5 years ago. And in the process of that, in 2,870 plus episodes, there has been a long process of discussing things, awakening to different realities of truths or different layers of truth, going into deep rabbit holes, investigating things. Some lead to something, some run into stone walls. But the process and journey of deeper spiritual awakening leads us to this greater love in Christ. And so here we are with that process. And now people who have been living in the cloud, in the matrix, are suddenly being confronted with these moral duplicities that they can no longer live with. This is the shock of being awakened. And it's there that we have such amazing opportunity to literally step in with one another and to be of assistance, to walk with people in a way to awaken them and to literally bring them to this greater love in Christ. We have and part of that is to unravel these idolatries that have been so entrenched. One of those, obviously, is this ongoing issue with Israel. And it's stunning. I mean, Israel bombed the Iranian embassy in Syria yesterday, as if that was a good idea. And that's sent up denouncing words from Russia, and Iran is now ramping up. All of these things are starting to happen. They're trying to force a hand. What you're seeing here is a state, Israel, who's now in desperation. They have gone forward with everything that they see themselves as the rightful heirs of the world to do, to eradicate whole populations, which is the Palestinians, and to execute its power in any way, shape, or form that it wants to, striking out against nations at their embassies or anything else because they see that as justified. Here's another part of that. And this is from resist_05. It says, breaking, it has now been confirmed that the aid workers targeted by Israel were traveling in a deconflicted zone in two armored vehicles that were branded with the WCK, the WCK logo, and that it had coordinated their movements with the Israeli military. WCK is World Central Kitchen, is pausing their operations immediately in the region. We will be making decisions about future of our work soon. Well, obviously, the people who are going to suffer are those that are starving, which are the Palestinians. And if you've been following these sorts of imagery coming out, there is a bombing of a hospital that literally has left, once again, children destroyed. Their mentality in that government in Israel is that these people that are there, the Palestinians, are all potential terrorists. And they're even, if they don't proclaim themselves as otherwise, they see them as future threats. This is the insanity of that. So these are all the reveals that have to come forward, and we can't sit by and just brush it off. We are living in an age of accountability. Literally, nations shall be judged. And we have to move to a place where we start to embrace the accountability in our own lives of what that means. Now, some of that is happening, and it's a good thing. But we have to understand, too, that in part of that process, they're trying to make it impossible for that to happen. Just take a listen to this brief piece in New York City. Here we go.
Here is the Row Hotel.
This is one of the five hotels that has been transformed into a shelter.
So we're going to walk in there and see what kind of operation they're running inside. This is a really nice hotel. How's it going?
How can I help you?
Oh, yeah, we were just checking out the hotel.
Oh, the hotel is closed, I'm sorry.
It's closed? But there's a ton of people in here right now.
Because it's a shelter now.
Oh, you guys it's shelter for the migrants coming in?
Yeah. It's no longer open to the public. It's closed to the public.
How many floors is it?
30.
30 floors. This thing is...
Yeah.
You guys aren't allowed to talk about it?
Yeah.
Why is it like such a big secret, do you think?
I don't know. We just follow orders.
When hotels such as the Row Hotel close until further notice, they sign the contract with an outside source saying that they will pay the rent in order for them to house the migrants. And the hotels love it because it is guaranteed money every single night. And at a rate of $200 per night at the Row Hotel, and with 1,331 rooms, that is $260,000 a day, $1.8 million a week, and $7.2 million a month. And all that money is guaranteed.
So I think it's difficult for us to really comprehend the magnitude of corruption that money brings until you start to have these things put in your face. These people are willing to completely destroy a nation, bring in a replacement population that they feel that will be much more obedient to their rules, all for the sake of money and power. This is this diabolical infection that hits their minds. They're truly, they believe that they are gods. And at the core of that, that's part of their belief. This is a satanic cult that is ruling the world. And if you have any doubt about that, just as we look at their overt attempts, even last weekend, to bring transgenderism into the Easter weekend, into the resurrection weekend, this is their attempt to claim their God of Ishtar over Jesus. They're more and more bolder. And part of this, when you get bold, there's only one of two answers to it. Either you are victorious. But anybody that feels they're victorious misses the point that all victories are short-lived when you walk with pride and arrogance. And I would add to this, not just an or, that they're also panicked. There's something that is coming. I keep saying this. It is a general awakening of the world that they are trying to get ahead of and trying to subjugate people, thinking that they can sidestep this. And the answer is they can't. They can't. Now, this awakening is happening, and it's happening in across the nation and across the world. But if we want to identify truly where things are in that sense, I think it's important to go to places that are probably considered the most lost and least likely to see an awakening. And what would that be? Chicago. So Chicago, and this article is from Wall Street Apes on X, Chicago is no longer asleep. Residents destroy Committee on Immigrant and Refugee Rights, quote, we have an administration that is run by criminals who hate America. Let me play this piece right here. It's, again, an indication that things are really beginning to stir, even in those darkest and hotbeds of what we would have called liberalism and destructive liberalism.
I'd like to start off with something Edward Snowden, a whistleblower, once said. He said, when exposing a crime is treated as committing a crime, you are being ruled by criminals.
Yeah.
Everyone in this room recognizes that what's happening surrounding the nonstop influx of illegal aliens is criminal.
Yes.
Everyone recognizes that something evil is among us, and Americans are not ready for the fundamental impacts this will have. In fact, we can't even fathom it because we've never seen anything like this.
Right.
Yeah.
We have an administration that is run by criminals who hate America.
Yes. Yes.
That's why they protect these criminals.
Yes.
Yes.
Police have been instructed from above to not mess with them.
Right.
So no matter what these criminal aliens do, they're always released. It's not an accident. This is by design.
Yes.
And we have a garbage media that gets paid for lousy coverage. We have a media that protects criminals.
Yes.
It seems as if every level of government has been bought out.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It really makes you wonder how many seats in government have been bought out by foreign influence.
That's right.
And we have a government that uses language to weaponize the masses.
Mm-hmm.
They're not illegal aliens. They're asylum seekers.
Right.
They're refugees.
Right.
And they throw these terms around so that the people of America feel guilty. Because nobody wants to be a bad person. We all aim to be good. But there's a distinction between goodness and tolerance. There's a difference between goodness and naiveness. And unfortunately, I believe the majority of Americans are not acting out of a spirit of goodness, but rather out of a spirit of cowardliness and naiveness.
Yes.
And we have the Committee on Immigrant and Refugee Rights, headed by anti-American Alderman Andre Bostic.
Yeah!
Again, they really throw around those friendly terms, but I like to call them what they are: the pro-criminal committee.
Oh!
The anti-American committee.
Yes!
They're not for people, but to destroy America.
Yes.
These groups are enemies of America. How many illegals are you housing in your home, Vasquez?
Uh-oh!
Since you love them so much, house them in your own home. Use your own money to fund them.
Yes.
So I have a message to my fellow Americans. If you'll watch this on TV or YouTube.
That's right.
Whose side are you on? Are you on the side of criminals, or are you on the side of this country?
Right.
Stop feeling like you're a bad person for calling them illegals. Stop letting our enemies gaslight us into believing we are racist or anti-immigrant. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Speak, girl. Speak.
A good person. A good person isn't a coward. A good person stands up for their neighbors.
Speak.
I'll finish with my favorite Martin Luther King Jr. quote, and I hope my fellow Americans ponder this. He once said, "The question is not whether we will be extremists, but what kind of extremists we will be. The nation and the world are in dire need of creative extremists."
Yes.
That was in Chicago. I think it's a fantastic indication of the greater awakening that is happening. And it's also part of the greater purpose of really why we're here. It only takes one to spark a movement, especially with the courage to speak. I want to play a couple pieces we're going to play as we go out today, but I just want to play this one here. A very inspiring story of someone just doing the right thing. This is a story about a woman. This guy comes across who is living homelessly. She is an older woman. I wouldn't say elderly. My guess is by the image, she's about 60 years old, 65. And when he comes to her, this is a guy who does this regularly. He asks her for something to eat, and she is living homeless. Take a listen to this story.
Her $32,000 was donated to you to help you out.
What?
2 days ago, this is how I met Linda.
Excuse me, ma'am. Sorry, really hungry. Do you have any food I could get her? Are you sure? Thank you so much. What are you gonna eat?
Oh, I've got plenty.
Yeah.
Here, let me give you some more. You take that.
Thank you. That's more than enough.
Yeah.
Can I give you a hug? Bless you. I have something for you.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
What?
I have $1,000 for you. I was just helping out the first person to help me.
Thank you. I can go to a motel tonight instead of sleeping in my tent.
You've been sleeping in a tent?
Last night, teacher in the store.
Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna get in a motel tonight. Oh, I gotta get busy.
The next day, I met up with Linda to give her the surprise of her life.
Over $32,000 was donated to you to help you out.
What? Jamie? I can get a van.
That's my next step from getting up off the street. Is not a room for rent in somebody's place. I need to get a van where I can sleep, I can work, I can take care of myself, I can be mobile. I know which one I'll get. I know which one.
Oh, my goodness.
I've been watching them on. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
the acts of kindness. They're just unmeasurable. We have done many of those here and will continue to do many more. It's the acts of kindness, of coming together to help one that in the end helps the many. This guy goes around and finds people. When he found her, just to give you the image, she was just in a space that she'd found tucked away in an abandoned building. And all she had was this little electric wheelchair that she was on, scooter, those electric scooters, and her bags. And he was asking her for food, and she gave what she had. And when he then rewarded, gave her back $1,000 and allowed her to get into a hotel for the few nights, and then raised $32,000, which she immediately used to buy a van. This is how we destroy this evil. It's absolutely how we destroy this evil, and we must. I'm going to play a piece here. It's about 7 minutes. I'm going to give you some pretext on this a little bit. This is not a Christian view. I want to be clear about this. But I think the perspective of this, as you listen to this, is very Christian in its core, and it's very God. This is a look at us and where we are in this time as if it's being told in the future. It's two young girls sitting and recounting their experience on earth as if they were speaking from heaven in spirit and reflecting on what had happened during this time. Frame it that way. I think it's deeply insightful as to what we're challenged with, what's happening, what's coming, and also who we are. Take a listen.
What's the craziest experience you've ever had?
That's easy. Earth.
Earth? You went to Earth?
I did.
No way. You were a human?
I was.
Wow. Are the stories about Earth true? Were they really trapped on Earth?
Some were. I know because I was one of the volunteers.
Wait a second. You volunteered to go to Earth?
I did. I had to. I had family trapped on Earth.
But how could you get trapped on Earth?
You had to be there to understand. On Earth, you wouldn't remember anything.
What do you mean you wouldn't remember anything?
I mean, you would have no memory of anything. You wouldn't even remember existing before Earth.
What? How is that possible?
It was designed that way. It was brilliant. To dive as deeply as possible into such ignorance, such darkness, and still find your way back to remembering who you were, that took true mastery.
Wow. I still can't believe you went to Earth. Tell me more.
Well, Earth had its own set of laws that everyone agreed to experience, like gravity. What goes up must come down, like linear time. Day is followed by night.
Time? What's time?
You know how when we think of something, it manifests instantly? Well, on Earth, there was a delay. The delay is what made Earth so difficult.
Interesting. Time. So tell me more.
Before going to Earth, you would choose your family, whether you wanted to be male or female, what race you wanted to be, the location on the planet. Things like that.
Oh, so you could choose your own character.
Exactly. You would enter the Earth as a baby and be completely dependent on others to teach you the rules. But since nobody could remember the rules, they made up their own rules, based on fear and giving your power away to others.
That doesn't sound like much fun.
It wasn't for everyone.
What'd you do while portions of you were on Earth?
I watched them. It was pretty funny.
What was so funny?
Here were these magnificent beings, playing the most unique and cutting-edge experience in the universe, and they were clueless. I tried to guide them as much as possible.
Wait a second, you could communicate with them?
Yes, but they couldn't hear me. I would show them synchronicities, or send them impulses to help guide them, but they couldn't see the signs.
Why not?
They didn't trust themselves.
So is that why they sent out a call for help?
Exactly.
Is that when you went?
No, I didn't go until later. First volunteers, they had it the worst.
What do you mean, had it the worst?
Well, they killed them.
What?
They killed the volunteers.
They killed them?
Those on Earth couldn't understand what the volunteers were telling them. The idea that they were equal to the volunteers scared them.
What were they telling them?
Common sense stuff like,
All the answers you seek are inside you. Everything I can do, you can do and more.
So they killed them?
And then they twisted the volunteer's message and created even more fear.
What do you mean, more fear?
Like the message, God is inside you, was turned into, you are separate from God. The message, all the answers you seek are inside you, was twisted into, you can't trust yourself.
And they believed it?
It was out of control.
How could they believe that?
You had to be there to understand. Did you know they actually believed that they were the only intelligent life in the universe?
Now that's funny.
Pretty crazy, I know.
So then what happened?
The designers knew Earth was going to enter a section of the galaxy the humans had never experienced before. A section filled with a frequency that might be able to reconnect the human's DNA.
What was wrong with their DNA?
It didn't work anymore. The thing is, their DNA was how they connected with their higher self.
So that's why your incarnations couldn't hear you.
Exactly. But there was a catch with the new plan. Only those incarnated on Earth could tune in to these new frequencies.
Oh, so they needed more volunteers.
Yes, but this time they were taking no chances. To pull this off, they needed millions in the physical form, wired and ready to attune to these frequencies.
Are these the 21st century humans that all the stories are about?
Yep. We volunteered from every corner of the universe to help the humans wake up.
What did the volunteers have to do once they got there?
We had to wake ourselves up, attune to these frequencies, and spread them to the rest of the planet.
That sounds impossible.
Most of those watching the Earth experiment didn't think we could pull it off.
So what happened when you got to Earth?
Once on Earth, we were taught the same fear-based beliefs that had been handed down for eons. We lived just like everyone else, totally clueless to who we were and what was getting ready to happen. But as soon as the Earth entered this cloud of frequencies, we started to question everything. And one by one, we started to wake up.
So the plan was working.
It was. The more we trusted ourselves, the quicker we reconnected. And the faster we started to remember what was happening. And since we were spread out evenly all around the planet's frequency began to rise quickly.
What happened when the planet's frequency began to rise?
The humans' experience of time began speeding up. They started manifesting their beliefs faster and faster. Those consumed with fear created even more fear, and eventually Earth just spun out of control.
What do you mean, spun out of control?
These low-frequency beliefs that had controlled the human experience for eons could no longer exist, so they began to self-destruct, and the world fell into a complete chaos.
That sounds terrifying.
It was for those living in fear. But for us volunteers, we all knew it was the end of the old energy and the beginning of the new.
So then what happened?
A tipping point was reached in our awakening, and we created a new Earth.
A new Earth? What happened to the old Earth?
It continued on, allowing those who could not let go of their fears to play out their lessons. But for us, we created a new Earth that matched our higher frequency. And as easy as that, all the fear-based beliefs simply fell away. In an instant, we remembered who we were. We knew we were all connected, and we stopped hurting each other. We started respecting each other, started loving each other. We took back our power to create, and we created a new Earth without fear.
Wow. So the legends are true. What an incredible experience that must have been. Nice work.
Thanks.
Pretty amazing interpretation of our times. And I think it has so much in there that's spiritually and scripturally rooted that it's worth reflecting on. It truly is an experience when you look at the world now and you ask yourself, why is there such a war on children like never before? Why are they building bunkers and so afraid? What is it that they're trying to hide from, be protected from, that they can no longer control? And it's the God within us. We're awakening, and awakening in a most amazing way. So fear not, literally, fear not. Understand who you are. Be solid in who you are. put away any doubt, heal those inner wounds that give you shame, and rebuke and bind fear, because we are truly the children of the Most High. And with that, we understand, and we truly do understand, if we trust ourselves, that there's nothing in this world that can overcome us. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you today for this process of just reflection and the continued process that we all walk in awakening and understanding more deeply who we are, stepping into the greater authorities that were given to us by Jesus, embracing those in their fullness without hesitation and without doubt, to truly be a child of the Most High, without question, without doubt, without fear, without shame, knowing that all of that was left on the cross. It's up to us to pick up that mantle and to walk in it. So, Father, today we just pray that continued blessing upon the warrior hearts of Christ. The blessing to step beyond the dead stone walls and out of the pew, away from the skinny jean pulpit, and truly walk into this world as a child of Christ, as a child of the Most High. Bless us, Father, in this walk. Let us see this world as you want us to see it. Let us walk this world as Christ would walk it. Let us experience these things as Holy Spirit would guide. And in so doing, let us truly awaken to the depth and amazement of who we are, to be humbled, to not hate but to love, to be kind where they want us to be evil, and to literally raise up one another in the power of love. Guide us and protect us. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Lots to reflect on, Patriots, and an amazing time to be alive. We truly are here in this time, in this place, for a very specific reason. I have no question about that. And it's an amazing time for us to be sharing the word, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, and lifting up this world in the glory of love and all that it is to offer in the halls of heaven. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We're at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you this evening for Expedition Cafe. I'm sorry, for Bards FM. There we go. For Bards FM. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who moved forward. And so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push, we climb, we never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray, we stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.